Dilbert Central, Cheeseheads. It is Friday morning. It is October 8th, and we are previewing the Washington Redskins game today on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks for joining me. We got a loaded show today. Lots to talk about. Lots of news going on with the Packers. And excited in the second segment of our show at 8:30, we'll be talking to author Steve Rose of the book Pea Soup for the Packer Heart. So stay tuned for that. That'll be at 8:30. Until that time, we're talking Packers and we're talking Washington Redskins and the game that is going to be happening this weekend. Please be reminded, everyone, that our live blog is moderated entirely by Twitter. I want to hear what you have to say, but you have to do it with Twitter, okay? Don't comment. Tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. And with that, we're going to go to today's Packers Daily Links. There's a link to it at the top of the live blog. If you click that link, it'll take you to a little page that looks like this. And our top story this morning is about Mark Tauscher. Click that little link right there and it'll bring you to a story at the National Football Post from Brad Biggs. And some less than encouraging news about Mr. Tauscher. If I could just read here for a second. It says, right tackle Mark Tauscher was held out of practice on Wednesday and listed on the injury report with a shoulder issue. According to an NFL source, there is fear that Tauscher's injury is serious and he could wind up being sidelined for a significant period of time. So, this news was brought up yesterday, in case you've been out of action for a while. And so this kind of got everybody up in arms about what's happening with the Green Bay Packers. Lots of injury issues. Just on Monday, it was learned rookie safety Morgan Burnett would be lost for the season. Then it was learned that Nick Barnett's injury to his wrist, maybe season ending. We don't know yet. Going to find out more today when he has a second opinion. Brandon Chalar has a rather serious shoulder injury. That too doesn't appear to be season ending, but could be out a couple weeks. He's doubtful, head coach Mike McCarthy said on, I forget which day he said it, but anyway, Brandon Chiller is doubtful for this weekend's game, pretty much all but assuring he won't be playing. Nick Collins was less than encouraging himself about his injury situation, but he's hopeful he'll be able to play this weekend. McCarthy said he's hopeful he'll be okay. And I think Collins will be out there. But still, all these injuries are cropping up, of course, on top of Ryan Grant's season ender. The guys on the PUP list, all this together has kind of brought down the morale of Green Bay Packer Nation just a little bit. So, we learned this about Mark Tauscher, your starting right tackle. And, you know, Mark Tauscher's kind of had a hot and cold season so far. But of course, you know, he is a veteran. Now you probably have to go with some unproven players, and that in itself can be a scary prospect. How serious Mark Tauscher's injury is appears to differ depending on who you talk to, it seems like. By reading the article in the National Football Post, you almost get the sense that it could be season-ending. And that doesn't appear to be the case, though. Thankfully, there's some, I suppose, looking at the sunny side of things. If you go back to our daily links, and the second article down is from Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin. If you click this link here, it says Tauscher's injury isn't season-ending. It'll take you to Mr. Wilde's article. at ESPNMilwaukee.com. And it kind of reassures you that Mark Tauscher at least won't be lost for the season. Just reading a brief paragraph here from Mr. Wilde, it says, quote, according to the team's source, Tauscher won't play against the Redskins, but is hoping to play against Miami on October 17th. The team figures to reevaluate Tauscher after this week, but it's possible he'll be out until the team's November 14th bye if the shoulder injury is deemed serious enough. So there we have it. He may not play this weekend, probably won't play this weekend, probably be inactive, probably won't even be part of the 45-man game day roster, and could be out as long as the bye week, when he would get an extra week to recover. And that's quite a ways away. That's more than a month from now. And if you consider the next game you would play another week, that's, you know, a month and a week. You know, that's about six games away. Six games in the interim. I didn't look it up. It could be seven or whatever. But still, Tauscher possibly out an extended period of time, but doesn't appear to be out for the season. Greg Bedard of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tweeted yesterday he's heard that it shouldn't be anything more than 2 to 4 weeks. So that's the news on Tauscher. Now getting to his replacements. One last time, going to the Packers Daily Links. Our third story down is from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His article talks about Tauscher, but also talks about the replacement plan as well. Mr. Silverstein writes, quote, Tauscher's injury will press first-round pick Brian Bulaga into duty at right tackle for the first time in his professional career. He is the logical person to fill in for Tauscher, given his high draft status and good showing in relief of left tackle Chad Clifton earlier this season. So, that's the situation. Mark Tauscher, most likely out this weekend. Brian Bulaga, more than likely your starter at right tackle. Brian Bulaga hasn't gotten a whole lot of time at right tackle. Not in a game so far, certainly. He has been, apparently, the backup, the top backup at right tackle every game this season. Now, Mark Tauscher's played every snap, so we haven't had to see Brian Bulaga. But they have nowhere else to turn the first four games of the season. TJ Lang has not been active the first four games at all. And the Packers have only kept seven linemen active on game days on their 45-man active roster. The seven they've kept are the starting five, plus Bulaga and Jason Spitz. Now, Jason Spitz is an interior offensive lineman. He's not playing right tackle. So Bulaga is backing up the tackle spots while Jason Spitz conceivably backing up the interior of the offensive line. And I doubt he's even backing up left guard. I would assume Brian Bulaga would be the top backup there too. So this is the situation the Packers are faced with this weekend. A couple of comments on our live blog. John Rahor writes, Tauscher has struggled all season. Let's see what Bulaga can do. I wouldn't say Tauscher's struggled all season. He had a very good game against the Chicago Bears, I thought. Pardon me, did I say that wrong? He had a good game against the Buffalo Bills. And yes, that was the game. He had a very good game against the Buffalo Bills. And he looked, for the most part, good against the Detroit Lions, he might have had one or two plays where he might have given up a pressure or something like that. But for the most part, he looked good this past week. It was the game against the Bears and Philadelphia where Tauscher has not looked good. Packer fan John says, let's get the bull in there and see what he can do on Sundays. I mean, you're going to see what Bulaga can do. He should be out there the full length of the game as long as he's healthy. The Andy Man says, I like Lang and Bulaga. They are the future on that line at some position, so give them their chances. For the first time, we should see TJ Lang active this game day. I think that's a given now that Mark Tauscher is more than likely out for this Sunday. Lang will be up. It'll be interesting to see if anybody else is. I doubt it. I doubt we'll see a Marshall Newhouse active. I mean, assuming Chad Clifton can go, and he practiced this week, you'd think they would still keep seven linemen active, and it would just be TJ Lang in place of Mark Tauscher this week. I would think TJ Lang would back up both spots, right guard and right tackle. I would assume Brian Bulaga would be the starting right tackle in addition to backing up left tackle should something happen to Chad Clifton. And because Brian Bulaga has his plate full this week, I would say this week probably, Jason Spitz would back up center and left guard. So, that's how I see things shaking out. What'll be interesting to see is if Mr. Bulaga just dominates. He plays like the first-round draft pick that everybody expects first-round draft picks to produce at. If he plays at that level, what the Packers will do. It will be awful hard for them to make Brian Bulaga a starting lineman permanently if and when Mark Tauscher comes back. And it's looking like more of a case of when. But you just never know what'll happen. Brian Bulaga could be at right tackle for 2 weeks here. Chad Clifton could then get injured. Mark Tauscher will come back, and then Brian Bulaga will step right in at left tackle. You have no clue. You just never know in this game, and especially with the injury history of a Chad Clifton. Packer fan John asks, why does it seem like Lang took a step back this season? Is the wrist still a problem? You know, it's an interesting question. We can't say Lang took a step back. We haven't even seen him in a regular season game. So, I mean, you can't really say he took a step back. I mean, maybe you're basing that upon training camp and the preseason when he didn't look great. And I would say that probably has a lot to do with his wrist. I've explained this before. Most recently on the post-game show against the Lions this past Sunday. The reason Lang has not been active on game days is because the Packers will only bring seven offensive linemen active. They just can't afford to bring this week. They can't afford to make Marshall Newhouse active more than likely because he's only going to play if two people get injured. He's not going to play in special teams. Marshall Newhouse is an offensive lineman. He's not going to lumber down the field on kickoffs or anything like that. So you just can't afford to keep more than seven linemen active unless there's circumstances that really call for it. So, I mean, that's been more so than anything the reason Lang's been active. Yes, I think his wrist does factor into it, but really, it comes down to special teams. TJ Lang isn't going to play on anything except maybe extra point blocking, field goal block. And, you know, that would be it. So, I mean, they have to keep backups at other positions active who are going to play those special teams reps. Guys like Brett Swain and Derek Martin. They have to get them in there who are playing almost on every special teams unit, playing, you know, 20 snaps a game in that role. John Rahor writes on the live blog, "Let's hope nothing happens to Clifton in the next few weeks. If so, musical chairs begins in full force." That is a concern. You know, if there's another injury, then all of a sudden, boy, the Packers will be scrambling. The good news is the depth is as good at offensive line as it's ever been, at least under Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. Suppose maybe you can argue back the depth was better, you know, maybe the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl when they had some pretty good linemen step in. So there is that. You know, should Chad Clifton get injured, Brian Bulaga would step over to the left side. TJ Lang conceivably would step in over at the right. And you'd like to think you'd still be okay. Some people would very well argue that the Packers would be in better shape if that happened. Of course, the biggest argument is that Bulaga and Lang are going to help the running game far more than it ever has before. The running game, of course, has been very sketchy this so far this season. They haven't established the run, nor have they tried to. So a lot of people think Lang and Bulaga would improve that. And I tend to agree. That's my prediction. That's what I think. We don't know until we see it. We will find out this Sunday against the Redskins, noon in Washington, D.C. at FedEx Field, how much the running game improves with Brian Bulaga in there. Potentially, you've got a pretty darn good right side of the offensive line on Sunday with Bulaga sitting next to Josh Sitton. If they struggle running to the right on Sunday, then it really might be time to worry. Wave the red flag. Of course, maybe Washington will be ready for that. Maybe they will try to play the right side of the Packers' offensive line and gear up for that. And how will the Packers balance their running? Will the Redskins play it evenly? And then the Packers only see success to the right side and not to the left? And that would certainly change things throughout the course of the game. Packers can't strictly run to the right because then, of course, you know, teams would pick up on that. So Chad Clifton did a really good job against the Lions in his run blocking. Best job this year in the run game, by far. Best in quite a while. I'm not going to say his entire career. It's been a long 12 years now. Chad Clifton's never been known for his run blocking, but still. So, it'll be interesting, that's for sure. On Sunday, how good that run game does with Brian Bulaga in there. Whether that'll, you know, get the calls for him even more to be a full-time starter. And a lot of that will depend on the health of Mark Tauscher. I mean, let's just say he's out until the bye week. Well, Brian Bulaga is going to be in there for quite a while and is going to have a long time to get comfortable. It will be different for him being on the right side and dropping with that right leg on passing downs, pass plays. That probably should be a little bit different for him. Take a little bit of adjusting to get used to. I mean, he's practicing it all week, no doubt. But still, when he's facing some good edge rushers, that too will be something to keep an eye on, how Lang handles them and protecting Aaron Rodgers back there in the pocket. So, a lot of uncertainty on the offensive line. Back on the live blog, John Rahor writes, rookie like Newhouse becomes number two tackle. Not confident in that. No, I wouldn't be confident in Marshall Newhouse either right now. I mean, that is a long way down the road, of course. That would take, you know, two injuries, basically, for that to happen. You know, it would take another injury on top of the one to Mark Tauscher already. And it wouldn't be this week, even. Because Marshall Newhouse is not going to be active this week. I mean, unless things change between today and Sunday. Packer fan John asks, about the line, are you concerned about the matchup of Wells and Haynesworth? Normally I would be. But from what I've seen out of Scott Wells this season, not at all. Not at all. Scott Wells has been the best player, arguably, on the Packers offensive line this season. Him and Josh Sitton. Maybe there's a tie between them. But wow, is Scott Wells done a good job. Ever since Scott Wells has gotten the starting job last season when he replaced an injured Jason Spitz, Scott Wells has been lights out. He's been Pro Bowl material. No doubt about it. Not a doubt in my mind. He's been Pro Bowl material. And with Haynesworth being a malcontent, I know Haynesworth had a pretty good game this past week. I'm aware of that. But with Scott Wells in there, with help along the interior from Josh Sitton, from Darren College, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. There's a seed of doubt in the back of my mind just because of how good Haynesworth has been in the past, and he started to click a little bit last week. He got that vote of confidence from Washington Redskins head coach Mike Shanahan. So there's that. There's that little bit of doubt. But, again, I'm confident in Scott Wells. Somehow, some way, despite being undersized, he just finds a way to get it done. Scott Wells, the Bulldog. And A. Biederman says, do you think Clifton will have a lot of trouble with a rack pull? That could be another story. Brian Arakpo has looked very good since coming into this league. Nice, outside linebacker. Redskins are playing a 3-4 now, aren't they? Rakpo's an outside linebacker. And he's shown an ability to put some rush on the quarterback. And there's the possibility that he'll be too quick for Chad Clifton. But Chad Clifton's strength has always been pass protection. Even though he's given up some things here and there. Hopefully, he'll get the job done. He didn't need any help this past week against Vandenbosch. He had very little, if any, help from tight ends and running backs. And hopefully, they won't need that this week. You know, I suppose if Clifton does start to struggle, then you've got to give him some help with tight ends and running backs. You can't really replace Clifton this week. You could, but you don't want to. Unless there's an injury. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Very shortly, we'll be talking to Pea Soup for the Packer Heart author, Steve Rose. We're going to take a break here at 8:30. When we come back, I'll have Steve Rose on the line. We'll talk about his book, talk about some of the stories that are in it. I've read a little bit. Haven't read the whole thing, but I've gotten to read portions of it, and really interesting from what I've read. And we'll have the opportunity to talk to him, meet the man behind the stories, and some of the things he's learned while researching this book. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. With us on the phone right now, I have Steve Rose, author of Pea Soup for the Packer Heart, a recently released book new to the growing library of Packer books. And how are you this morning, Steve?
I'm doing great, Brian. And you?
I'm fantastic as well. Steve, we'll get into what's inside the book very shortly, but starting off with the tough question here, there's tons of Packer books out there. What is unique about your book? Why should our readers part with their hard-earned money on your book?
That's a great question, and the answer is easy. You know, the Green Bay Packers have a bond with their fans. They have a bond like no other with their fans, the community, and the town. Everybody who's a Packer fan, Brian, has a story. And we went out and collected 99 of the most fun stories. Some will make you laugh, some will make you cry, some will make you laugh so hard until you cry. And we've got players that are involved that have great stories, A.J. Hawk, Nick Barnett, Aaron Rodgers, and we have some of the past players like Gon Horn, who was Vince Lombardi's last number one pick, Mike McCoy, Marco Rivera would still be on the telephone talking about how great the Packers are. Noah Herring was here for only a couple of years, and numerous people. And, of course, we have some fun people from the media as well. So this book goes to the level like none before to talk about how warm and fuzzy this organization and how special Packer fans are, Brian.
One of my favorite stories in the book that I've read so far is about Pat Tillman. Now, most people by now know the story behind Pat Tillman. Left the game of football to serve his country, ended up dying while serving in Afghanistan. But I would assume most people, before they read the story, are wondering why he's part of a Packers book. Can you let him in on that?
Wow, and it's one of my favorite stories as well. On January 2nd, 2000, the Green Bay Packers are playing a game that has no real implications. They're already, I believe, out of the playoffs at that time. And in the second quarter, my friend Mike Jantz goes up into the Lambeau Field concession area. You get some concessions. He's on the way down when he sees a brown blur coming at him. He ducks, sees that a football went behind him and is bouncing in the corridor, goes down to his seat, said, "What just had happened?" And they said, "Well, Favre just threw an interception, and the dude from the Arizona Cardinals just threw the ball up into the stands." Well, Mike Jitt went back to the lost and found. He talked to the security guy there, wound up with that football, and you'd think that that was maybe the end of the story until Mike is sitting watching the news in 2004, and he hears Tom Brokaw or someone talk about the fact that Private Pat Tillman, who had turned out a contract, a multimillion-dollar contract to sign with the Rams just a few years earlier, stayed with the Cardinals, incidentally, for one more year, but he was killed in Afghanistan. And it dawned on Mike Jantz in that moment that he was holding the football of a hero. And that story is at number 14, called The Patriots' Last Fling. Now, Brian, since you and I talked here a few days ago, we've heard from Jason Akins at the NFL Hall of Fame, and they're finding the footage to that play, which they will. The ball will be verified, and they want that ball at the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. I've been in touch with the PR people in Minnesota, and we're going to get Brett Favre to sign that football, and we'll keep you in the loop. They'll have some kind of ceremony, or there'll be something going on, as either the Hall of Fame will come up to Green Bay to get that football. We'll make sure you're there, or we'll put you on a bus with some other national media people as we take that down there. Should be pretty special. So, yeah, that's the Green Bay Packers spin on that story there, Brian.
Sounds good. I'm all for being on a bus to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but you know what? I can't. What really surprised me, it has nothing to do with the story, that a football would end up in the lost and found. Wouldn't most people just be dying to get their hands on a game-used football?
Most people die and get their hands on what was that, Brian?
Wouldn't most people die to get their hands on a football from a game? I just found it interesting that it ended up in the lost and found.
I've thought that numerous times, and Mike Jantz is a dear friend, and I'm going to ask him what happened. I think what happened is it hit in that corridor area, and I think the security guy got it before anyone could get to it, and he marched it right down to the lost and found. That had to be what happened, because you would think there would have been some people going to it. Now, that said, Mike said he remembered hearing people say, "Throw it back, throw it back." So, you know, maybe it would have been one of those things that somebody would have been a rat fink if they had been hanging on to this football that was thrown by this guy from Arizona. And who was he at the time, really, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe that answers that one. But
yeah, he was just a young defensive back and mostly unknown at the time. I personally like that there's a lot of untold stories in your book. You know, there's so many stories in the long history of the Green Bay Packers, but a lot of them haven't been heard in Pea Soup for the Packer Heart. And can you just maybe give a quick one or two stories here that perhaps fans haven't heard before?
Well, absolutely. You know, a cute one, I think, early on in the book is Kabir Gabaja Biamila, who is a fantastic football player, but he was even a better young man, was here, I believe it was probably 1999 or 2000. And he's up at his first practice, and he's just a wet behind the ears kid from San Diego State with a whole bunch of enthusiasm and ADD and everything. And so he gets off the practice field, and he goes over to Packer management, and he's going to, you know, find out what's going on there. And he pokes his head into an office, and he says, "Hey, I'm Kabir." And the voice in the face he's looking at says, "Hey, I'm Bob." And he said, "Kabir, what you doing up here?" He said, "Well, I know what goes on the field. Now I'm wondering, you know, what you guys do up here in the office. Let me give you a tour." Takes him down the hall, and he introduces him to Andy Brandt and Jeff Stepley and, you know, some of the other people who are there, Lee Remmel and Linda McCrossin. And then he says, "And Kabir, this is the executive boardroom. Now, I can understand what's special about this organization is we're owned by the team and the fans and the community, and that's why the decisions are so important in here." And after about 15 minutes of this tour, Kabir said, "And Bob, what do you do here?" He said, "Well, when I'm not giving tours, I'm the president." That was Bob Harlan who gave that. And Brian and Packer Cheesehead Nuts, let me tell you, Bob Harlan, my personal friend, He is one of the nicest people on the planet. And I was talking to Larry McCarron the other day, and I said, Larry, who's nicer than Bob Harlan? He said, nobody. He said, Steve, what's amazing about Bob Harlan, you know, is that this guy was able to run the football team and still be a nice guy. And that's not good. But I was sitting with Bob the other day. I said, Bob, you know, give me your managing philosophy. He said, get the right people, tell them what you want them to do, and get out of your way. And, man, that really took a whole shape when he got Ron Wolf, who got Mike Holmgren, who brought in, you know, Brett Favre, and then, of course, Reggie White. The rest, as we say, is history. But there's a couple of neat stories in there about Bob Harlan as well. But that's one of my favorites, and it's the first one in the book, and I think it sets the tone that the pace of the pack is the pace of the leader, and I don't believe that sort of tour and that sort of interaction had possibly gone on in any of the big cities around the country. So that's kind of one of the fun ones. But there are numerous funny stories and some tearjerkers, too. And the Tillman story, and also one about Mike Hunt. You know, Mike Hunt played for the Green Bay Packers from 78 to 81, and it's called It's Only a Game. And we end that story talking about the fact he lost his son Isaiah in Iraq. You know, the likable Lionel story about Lionel Aldridge later, you know, kind of shows that not all these stories in, you know, life have a fairy tale ending. But the majority of them, again, you'll certainly enjoy them. And, you know, I'd say 90% of them, these are untold stories.
Yeah, you bring up about Bob Harlan. No Packer fan can forget what he did for the franchise, not only bringing them a Super Bowl, but, you know, to the current day, getting, you know, the renovation of Lambeau Field, and just forever be indebted for him for basically saving the franchise. Steve, you've written other Packers books. I believe you used to host a Packers radio show. Tell us about your background a little bit.
Well, I'm a radio guy. You know, I guess I've written 6 books, and, you know, the ones people remember, you know, up until this one were The Leap of Faith, God Must Be a Packer Fan books. I wrote that book in 1996, and the media loved it, and it shot to the top. And that was during a time when I was doing radio with Kenny Rutgers, and I were co-hosting a radio show on a station in Green Bay. And, you know, I'm the only guy in the history to ever interview Sterling Sharp in a studio, not because of me, but because he trusted Ken Rutgers. But we talked about that in our Leap of Faith, God Must Be a Packer Fan book. And then Robert Brooks became a business partner and, you know, worked with Don Beebe and the late Harry Galbraith. Guy McIntyre, there was a young quarterback at that time by the name of Mark Brunell, an ornery guy by the name of Sean Jones, and a big teddy bear by the name of Reggie White. And I used to get an opportunity to hang around these guys. Adam Timmerman was just a rookie at that time. And so it was really cool, and I guess I was privileged to, you know, be with the guys when they were off the field, and I'd catch them in vulnerable moments, and they'd share things with me. And some of those things, most of them are in the book, some of them are not. But that, you know, I came from a radio background and, you know, wound up a writer, which is pretty impressive, seeing as how I slept in study hall at Campbell Sport High School in Wisconsin. So we've been blessed. But, yeah, we've had a lot of Packer books, and I didn't think there would ever be any work that we'd be able to put out Packer-related better than, you know, the God Must Be a Packer Fan book. But I have to tell you, this book here is one very, very, very special book. But we'll let folks decide that for themselves.
Steve, it's a pleasure listening to your stories. You have so many of them, and I enjoy listening. Where can fans get the book?
Fans can get the book at any bookstore in the country. If you go there and it's not available, they'll get it. It's available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Now that said, if you want an autographed copy, go to PSoupPackerBook.com. Kathy and I will autograph one for you. We're going to be doing a signing at the Green Bay Packer Pro Shop 2 weeks from today on October 22nd from 4:30 to 6. If you're in the area, stop out and get a copy signed by AJ and Laura Hawk. But, yeah, they're available at PSoupPackerBook.com. And with everything going on here, I think with the Favre Tillman football and some of the key things that we got coming up and things, I think you're going to want to get out and get some of the last first edition copies, because we're making plans here for a second edition. And, you know, last time we did this, released a book at this time, the Packers went to the Super Bowl. So we're kind of hoping the same thing. So help us keep the momentum going and generating it. And if you want us to come out and speak to your group or whatever, we got a lot of great Packers stories that still haven't been told. And if you buy me a chicken dinner, we'll do anything. So, but you can also click on our speaking tab also at peasoupacherbook.com, as we love to speak. We love to encourage. And we do a seminar called The Peanut Butter Promise. I'm 19 years I've been sober. My life was a mess. So we like to come out and talk about the fact you can't mess up your life, have your dreams come true. So there's a lot of stuff that we do. But yeah, peasoupacherbook.com. Brian, it's just a joy to talk to you. I was talking to somebody from Appleton the other day who knows the guys that you work with. I guess I understand, you know, most of you have Wisconsin backgrounds. So we're just proud of you guys for doing what it is that you do, and keep doing it because you're the best at what you do in the business. Your website and all that you do is awesome, and boy, you're really on top of things too. And I love the story you did, Brian, about my pal Kenny Rutgers. Nobody probably helped me more over the years than my pal Kenny Rutgers.
Having you with us, and we love it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, God bless you, Brian. Take care, and thanks, Packer Nation.
Okay, see you later, Steve. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Yeah.
Steve Rose, author of Pea Soup for the Packer Heart, good book. Now, it is what it is. Don't expect it to be instant replay. Don't expect it to be the book by David Moranis when Pride Still Mattered. What it is a collection of short stories, and that's what it is. I mean, you have to be realistic with your expectations here. If you like that sort of thing, I guarantee you will like this book. So, it reminds you why we are fans of the Green Bay Packers. I don't think you find a book like this on many other teams with these heartwarming stories. There might be a few out there, but there's a lot more about the Green Bay Packers. And once again, thanks Steve Rose for joining us this morning. And you can find out more. We wrote a review of the book on Cheesehead TV just a couple days ago, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. And you can go to his website, peasoupacherbook.com. So thanks, Steve. Getting back to Packers news. We're going to rejoin the Packers Daily Links, some of the other things that are going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. After all the right tackle news between Mark Tauscher's injury and his replacements with Brian Bulaga and possibly TJ Lang, there's an article from Tom Silverstein at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click this link, it'll take you to an article. It's basically a notebook section in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It has a little bit of information on Maurice Simpkins. But if you scroll down then, you'll find some information about Brad Jones and the outside linebacker position. In that little notebook section, Tom Silverstein writes, quote, Jones has gotten the vast majority of snaps because Capers wants to see if he's ready to get his job back after being hampered by a shoulder injury the past 2 weeks. Zombo started the last 2 weeks and showed good pass rush, but the Packers may need more coverage ability this week with Washington's desire to throw to tight ends and backs. So, the word on the street is Brad Jones will be getting the majority of playing time, or at least he has during practice. So, that's noteworthy in the fact that Frank Zombo had been getting most of the snaps prior to these past couple weeks. I believe it was Brad Jones who started the first game of the season, or was it even two? And then kind of gave way to Zombo. Brad Jones is dealing with some injury issues himself. And now it looks like Brad Jones could be back. Of course, the Packers kind of basically held open additions last week with Zombo, Jones, and even Brady Papinga all sharing time. And you know, it's, you know, how can I put this? You don't have an outside linebacker who's really standing out on the other side of Clay Matthews, whether it's the right side or the left side. Clay Matthews seems to be able to play anywhere, and it's good. That is fantastic that he can just play right, left, and that makes tough for an opposing team to game plan against that, and what have you. But it's been discouraging, one of my favorite words, to see nobody really take a hold of that outside linebacker job opposite Clay Matthews. Zombo's shown flashes. He has, I believe, 2 sacks on the season. But he struggled in pass coverage. And as Mr. Silverstein alluded to, that may be one of the bigger reasons for the change. I don't know if it should be the main reason, because an outside linebacker, you rush 2 times for every 1 time you drop back. And that might be a generous estimation. Maybe rush 3 times for every 1 time you drop back in coverage. But Frank Zombo wasn't very good at in coverage. And that's why they went to Brady Papinga, who has more experience in pass coverage. Of course, Brady Papinga being well-versed in the 4-4-3 defense of the Packers, and has much more experience sitting back. And Brad Jones, too, you know, basically the starter at outside linebacker from the time Aaron Campman got injured onward last year. And he showed he can rush the passer, okay? Hasn't shown it this season. So, you know, a lot of variables in play. John Rahor asks, if you were coaching, who would you start at outside linebacker between Jones, Zombo, and Papinga? If I had to pick a starter, I would go with Jones. You know, I think injuries have been hampering him a little bit, and he hasn't really gotten a chance to get going this season so far. I think if you do stick with him, you're going to see better results. You know, not to say that he couldn't be spelled once in a while by Frank Zombo or Brady Papinga, but I think you do go with Brad Jones as a starter in the majority of the time, because he has shown in the past and during the preseason in his limited opportunities that he can get the job done against the run, rushing the passer. And haven't seen a whole lot of Jones in coverage, but, you know, he is a good athlete, at least. Brady Papinga, I believe, could be utilized on running downs and in maybe short distance situations more than he has been. I really think they got to start specializing with Brady Papinga. And they haven't specialized with him. He's just been in for a series or something like that. I really do believe Brady Papinga is steady against the run as far as outside linebackers go. And I wish they would specialize him that way. I'd like to see that. And of course, all this uncertainty at outside linebacker has prompted me to write a column yesterday about using Cullen Jenkins at outside linebacker. And again, you have to read into my column to see how I stated that. I'm not saying Cullen Jenkins should be a full-time outside linebacker. I'm saying you use him in sub packages. You use him in the nickel and the dime and, you know, perhaps some other creative things that Dom Capers comes up with along the way, and maybe you don't use him all the time in the nickel or the dime either. But because Jones, Zombo, and Papinga have not produced a steady pass rush, and Cullen Jenkins can, he's shown that over the years and so far this season, getting a sack every game so far on average. that he may be the best pass rusher among them. And I think, especially if you aren't going to blitz anyone, if you're not going to blitz those middle linebackers, inside linebackers, why not have a starting, not a starting, but a front four defense of Jenkins, Matthews on the outside with, say, Mike Neal and BJ Raji on the inside. I think that is putting your best pass rushers up front. So that's my opinion there. And I wouldn't doubt you start seeing that at all. I hope to see it as a fan. And who knows? I mean, maybe they are committed to Brad Jones, seeing as, you know, it's been reported that he's taken a majority of the snaps. If he's healthy, he deserves the chance to prove himself. He's done it in the past. Now he's got to do it now. The Packers have to start stepping up to the plate. They have had some injury issues, as all teams have. You know, seems, you know, a little more than most lately. And it's time to start stepping up to the plate and doing the job. You know, they've shown that they're going to go with the hot hand at that position. So if you are Brad Jones and you're not producing, I would say it's not going to take long for Kevin Green, the outside linebackers coach, or defensive coordinator Dom Capers, and even Mike McCarthy to make that switch. You know, Frank Zombo has shown he can rush the passer, at least on occasion. So if you're not producing, you are going to be replaced. And hopefully that lights a fire underneath them and can start getting to the quarterback with a little bit more frequency. You know, Clay Matthews is getting a lot of attention. And hopefully that'll free things up for the people on the other side of the line of scrimmage away from him. And it might. We are just about out of time this morning here on Cheesehead TV, the Railbird Central morning call-in talk show. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Thank you to Steve Rose for joining us, talking about his book, Pea Soup for the Packer Heart. It's been fun. It's Friday. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Go Bucky tomorrow. Wisconsin Badgers take on Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Gophers in the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. The longest running rivalry in all of college football. I'm excited for it. I'm going to the game. But not long till Sunday. And the Packers, once again, have another game. Join us at Cheesehead TV on Sunday. We'll have another one of our live blogs, of course, as we do every week. And I'll be hosting the post-game show as soon as the game is done. So make sure to join us then. Have a good weekend, everybody. And take care. And we'll see you Sunday.